Miss Wright?
Yeah.
I was just wondering, who's more guilty? Someone like in Les Mis who didn't want to steal but had to? Or someone who wanted to but didn't?
An interesting moral twister. And we'll get to that now.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode, season one, episode three, Every Dream Has Its Price, and then in parentheses, tag. Here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you ready to get your sticky fingers all over this episode?
Hey, this Meshuggah Tiffany. The music always makes me want to do that. Like, what Nourish Gate is it this week? No, sure I know. Yes, I guess I am ready to learn a very important special lesson about not stealing and your mom believing in you.
Yes. And so in the last episode, we tried to divide the episode up by storylines, but in a rare departure, all three of these kind of braid together really well. There are sort of three storylines, but they do refer to each other, I think, more so than definitely in the pilot or in the second episode. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so. Because now we're sort of done with the introductions, I think, mm-hmm. for a while. And now it's more like, you know, I keep saying that season one was very lesson of the weeky. Mm-hmm. And so now we're like, now that we've met the entire core, we're into the lessons and they're much more. I think there was a real effort made to like tie everything into that same lesson each time.
Yep.
Before it became a complete soap.
Yeah, this is more Seinfeld-y than other episodes that we've watched to this point, I would say, in terms of everything kind of converging. But let's still do it episode by, or storyline by storyline, starting with the least important, Cindy and Anna. Anna shows up. She's a maid. Jim has hired this woman because she's like the maid of a friend who needs more work. And he forgot to tell Cindy because they've apparently had zero conversations in this show. This is the most we've seen Jim so far, too. And it still seems like he and Cindy are like strangers, pretty much, because he's hardly been in any episode yet.
Yeah. Well, and he's always on the phone and there's always some like assistant climbing under the phone cord to give him papers to sign or
in her giant blazer,
whatever. And this is another hallmark of season one is that we really were, I think, expected to care about Cindy and Jim's adjustment to Southern California living. Mm-hmm. I'm glad they realized that we didn't, but we're not there yet.
No. So there's a lot of, in addition to Cindy's tension about this woman showing up and she barely speaks English, there's this runner about the phone doesn't work, which somebody thought was much more hilarious than it actually is. It's just annoying and frustrating, much like it would be in real life. Where it crosses over initially with the Brenda storyline, which we will get to, is when Brenda brings home a new girl who's very flashy and exciting and, because Cindy can't stand to have anyone working near her, she's helping Anna dust or pick up something under the coffee table in the kitchen. And enter Brenda and Tiffany, and that is number six.
Hey.
Oh, hi, honey.
That's my mom.
Which one?
We're going upstairs.
Are you sure you don't want a snack? You'll never see my mom with a cleaning utensil in her hand. You'll never see my mom at all.
Oh no.
Oh, poor little Tiffany, unhappy at last.
Mm-hmm. Exactly in the same way that Marianne was also unhappy, also at last. These Beverly Hills kids have no character. Etc., etc. Yes, we're doing this again with a totally other girl for no good reason, really. It also is not a great moment for Cindy to have her butt side by side with Anna. So they both turn around. A little embarrassing.
Oh, God. And there was also like this weird, maybe I've just watched Mommy Dearest way too many times, but mm-hmm. it sort of reminded me of when Joan Crawford is like bitching at her assistant slash Boston marriage lady.
Yeah.
That you have to like move the giant planter and scrub underneath it. Mm-hmm. Without wire hangers, I assume. And that just sort of like reminded me visually of that moment, which I'm sure is not what they were going for. But Darren Star,
yeah, you never know. It's true. So, yeah, Cindy takes an immediate dislike to Tiffany even before all the shit goes down, which we will get to. And then her only other note, other than being disappointed with Brenda, is Jim brings home something that she thinks is a present for her. And it's an unacceptable nylon tracksuit that she's really sad is not a gift that he's brought for her. She will have a picture on the page. But, yeah, it's rough.
Well, and then she's all like, just like, oh, that's so sweet. Like, just tell her it's not for her, mm-hmm. A. But B, who takes home the unacceptable sweatsuit in a gift box then, yeah. Jim? That is kind of on you. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, I'm really in trouble, aren't I? And they're about to have, like, a marriage moment, and then something interrupts them. And it's just very weird. Like, yeah. I get the feeling we were supposed to see more of their power walking estrangement, and then we didn't, which is good, but it was, yeah, very weird. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the C plot, pretty much. The B plot is Brandon looking for a job with the same guitar chord
just screaming in our faces. It really did seem to go on for 20 minutes.
Forever. Like, they showed the list, and then they showed him going to a place, and then it was like they felt like they had to show us each place on the list rejecting him. Like, you could have just skipped over, like, done 1, 5, 9. We would have got it. We're not stupid. Also, who cares?
And then, like, there are his feet pounding the pavement, except he's walking really slowly. Like, no wonder they're not hiring you. You walk unbelievably slow.
Yeah. Also, he has a car. Like, why is he walking everywhere? But anyway, he ends up at this very chic restaurant where Doris from Fame is the manager. And they do a corny, she hires him on the spot, and they do the whole thing where, like, thank you for your time, because he's not paying attention because he's so worn down by his 5 job rejections of the day. But apparently he's lucked into something pretty decent, and that's clip number 5.
This town, that is the Nitro restaurant.
I am a Nitro guy.
Oh, dude, you scored a sweet job. If you're into jobs.
What, this town? Yeah, it's all right. I ate there opening night. Delicious cumin.
What?
Delicious cumin.
Okay.
That's the restaurant's thing. They have, like, cumin shakers on the table, I guess. Mm-hmm.
And he just, like, eats it by the handful?
I guess.
He's mad, bad, and dangerous to underseason, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. What's also confusing is that they use Nitro as a positive adjective. Steve says that's the Nitro place, but that's also the name of the store that we're about to get to in Brenda's storyline. So it's very uninventive and confusing. So Brandon goes to this job. It's very chic. He's out of place because he's a corn pone from Minneapolis or whatever. but then he has the shocking revelation that he's working with undocumented colleagues. Oh, my God. Let's go to clip number 9.
We new kids in town sure get a raw deal.
Doesn't just go for the kids. These guys I work with, Vietnamese, Israelis, they're like Grandpa was, coming here with no money. They get completely exploited.
Well, look in our own home with Mom hiring Anna.
Yeah, but you can bet Mom pays her fairly. Uh-huh. These guys at my job are working for pine nuts.
Well, can't they do anything about it?
I don't know. But you know what? They'll be fine. And so will you.
They'll be fine, I guess.
Whatever you say. Although I'm sort of relieved. I mean, there's a clip later where I will become even more enraged. But yeah, we'll this, I remembered this as Brandon, champion of the downtrodden Chicano plotline number 1 of 15 just from the first season. Yeah. I was, I guess, relieved to find out that they were downtrodden Asians, but then he also completely didn't care, although at least he didn't start blaring at his dad's boss during a work party.
Yeah.
So yeah. Excited for that episode.
I know, it's going to be great. He's horrified that that restaurant employees in Los Angeles are not treated fairly or employed in legal fashion, which duh. But then everything finally comes to a head when he's wandering around the floor with a bin for all the dishes, which is like very gauche for this place that's supposed to be super duper classy or whatever, or at least sceney. And then he makes the mistake of talking to Dylan, which is always a mistake, really. more or less. Let's take it to clip number 12.
This town's the eating experience for the morning moments. A medley of sage, cumin, bouquets, and fragrant vegetable jewels.
Many people would love your job.
Yeah, love that minimum wage.
You get minimum wage? Congratulations, man.
Yeah, right. Same to you.
None of us do.
That's illegal.
So, who's gonna do anything?
Not Brandon.
Well, maybe he will and maybe he won't. Let's play clip number 13.
Listen.
I loathe apologies. Make it up to me, Brandon. The cumins need filling.
It's Brandon. Brandon Walsh. I'm an investigative reporter for the West Beverly News. You can laugh if you want.
Oh, good.
But a lot of parents read that paper and eat here. But they won't. Not anymore. Not after I tell them how you scam your help for under minimum wage. So you can take your cumin, you can shove it.
Take the load off, Minnesota. Dinner delectable, son.
Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. Excuse me. Can I get a round cup and a round saucer? And I'd like it before the second coming, please.
Okay, there's a lot to unpack there. Sarah, why don't you begin?
Okay, starting with the, once again, music loop, which I think tends to make already poorly edited and too long scenes seem even longer.
Yep.
Like, take the Casio off repeat shuffle. Thanks. First of all, do not be fucking quoting Dr. King ever.
No.
I don't care if you were actually released from jail after, like, mm-hmm. getting locked up for human rights protest.
Nope.
Shut the fuck up, Brandon.
You do not get to do that ever. Never.
No.
Never, never.
Furthermore, you've just quit your job in a huff because other employees are being mistreated. Mm-hmm. So you sit down with your fuckwad friend who has
one overall strap.
Yes. And proceed to treat the help like shit, which, if you're trying to be ironic, fail.
Yeah.
Shut up, Brandon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I am done.
He's an investigative reporter with the Beverly Hills Police. Like, what? I also doubt that a lot of parents read that paper, by the way.
Oh, my God. I doubt a lot of students read that paper.
I'm sure they don't, even though it's the number one paper in the country. After Dylan's just said, I'll treat you to dinner, and then Brandon sat down and been a dick and then decided he's not going to stay and be a dick, he's going to leave and be a dick, we get one of the next important introductions, and that is clip number 14.
I don't know why you dragged me all the way out here.
Best pie in L.A. Real food for real people.
Here's the real cups and real saucers.
Take it or leave it.
What I like is you get a real cross-section of people, yeah?
Shut up, Dylan, you fucking idiot. Obviously, they are at the Peach Pit. Dylan has just introduced Brandon to Nat. They're sitting there eating pie. Wrong, by the way. They're just eating the filling out of the middle of the crust, which is...
Of a tiny little pie.
Like
and
a
also,
tart. Yeah.
Yeah, like Dylan is eating so much pie. Again, 24-inch waist.
Yeah. So, obviously, this whole thing has been in aid of getting Brandon to the Peach Pit, which is he describes as way out here, even though later on it seems like it's right in Beverly Hills and always had been, but whatever. Brandon has a job, and Dylan helped him get it. Hooray for Dylan. Okay, now to the A plot. Brenda's latest run-in with the Mean Girls, and as we heard earlier when she came over to the house and was embarrassed, this week's Mean Girl is Tiffany, one of Kelly's million former best friends who they fell out and now they've fallen back in again, really for no purpose other than to make Brenda feel like jealous and an outsider.
Right. And once everyone learns, you know, the value of Midwestern family values in the whatever shallow maw of Los Angeles, these people are cured emotionally and disappear.
Exactly. So Brenda starts the episode, even before we get to Tiffany, by complaining that she doesn't have anything decent to wear. And let's play clip number two.
You know, honey, if people only like you for your appearance, they don't really like you.
Don't dig too deep here, Mom.
Good advice, not taken. yeah, Brenda also has to beg off of some kind of horseback riding excursion that is too expensive, which riding is such super exercise as part of her argument in favor of going, which what? I don't know. Do not know. So then we get to class. It's a classic school assignment mirroring show events plot, which for some reason in English class, they're reading Les Miserables in translation. What? But anyway,
America,
I guess. So this is how their dumb teacher, who was also the newspaper advisor, Miss Rye, introduces it. And that's clip number three.
Les Miserables. Sounds kind of miserable, doesn't it?
You've all seen or you've heard about the play. Now I want you to read the book. It's got sex. It's got crime. One minuscule crime ruined Jean Valjean's life. What sentence would you give someone for stealing bread to feed his widowed sister and starving family? Brenda.
I think he should have gotten a light sentence. Definitely, for sure.
Wrong.
I just cut it off there. She explains why, but I just thought that was funnier. Wrong!
Well, it's the one thing she manages to spit out in any length of time. Like, lady.
Yeah. I don't know.
You only get 45 minutes. Spit it out.
I don't know.
We're teaching you the test here.
I don't know what she thought she was going to accomplish, but yeah, this woman is overacting so hard. Like, she thinks she's going to make it into the opening credits. Like, you're not. Take it easy. And she's not seen past the season either. But there's an announcement on the radio station or whatever at school that there's a sale at this store, Nitro, which, okay. Brenda is,
and that's David Silver, right?
No, it's the other guy. Although this is the episode where we see that David is doing the video yearbook because Tiffany strips her dress off for him. Okay, Tiffany. Brenda is pathetically grateful to be included on the trip to the store, even though she can't afford anything there. Steve is there with David also, which makes no sense. at quote Nitro, which the exterior is Fred Siegel on Melrose, but whatever. And Tiffany steals. No one sees her. She steals just grabs a bunch of stuff and throws them in her bag. And then when she goes over to Brenda's, she stashes the stuff there. What she should be buying is something to cover her butt and those terrible jorts. Not that she's a heavy girl, but they are not flattering. They are really high waisted and they have leopard print patches on the front. Not okay. After she stashes the stuff, Tiffany makes Brenda the next day go back to the store with her. Brenda can't understand why, because they were just there. And she says, that's part of the fun, going back. Brenda does not read into this at all.
They don't have shoplifting in Minnesota.
Right. And then this time Tiffany steals something and she gets caught. And then clip number seven.
You're really in trouble now.
The store detective, meanwhile, is in this like enormous white hat. She looks like white Carmen Sandiego crossed with prime suspect. Like, she could not be more conspicuous. It's crazy.
Yeah. She actually looks like, and perhaps is, the mom from Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
She does look exactly like that. Oh my God.
I kind of liked the hat, but the blazer, which was only the second most gigantic David Burnian blazer. In the episode, the first one was Brenda's. It has a post office and a Starbucks in it and a congressperson. Anyhow. Yeah. There was no one else in the store, P.S. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're painting a picture that sounds like she's Celine Dion wearing her backwards suit and giant hat from the Oscars.
Celine Dion?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Kind of. So she gets caught and then they're put in like a back storage room to snipe at each other. And that's clip number eight.
How could you do this to me? Aren't you being just a little self-centered? You're the genius that flagged me the sales girl. I can't believe I'm hearing this.
Oh, would you relax? They've only got 10 minutes to take us to the police station, or else we can sue. False imprisonment. Great, I'm in here with a pro. Brenda, you know, I stole that vest for you.
Excuse me, but that just is not true.
You were just too afraid to do it yourself.
I don't want to hear it.
I saw the look in your eye. Hey, I understand. It's the only time I feel alive. I could buy anything.
My heart bleeds. Don't talk to me.
That music is totally the private investigator staking out a, you know, the abandoned building.
Yeah. While neon is blinking on and off through the windshield. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So this is like the fourth of 700 times in this episode that we have to understand. Tiffany doesn't need to steal, unlike Jean Valjean. She just does it for sport because she's bored and wants attention, blah, blah, blah. So Cindy and Jim come and pick up Brenda. Cindy is icy disappointment. She's like so upset she can't even get mad. It's exactly like when Bart steals Bone Storm on The Simpsons and how Marge reacts to him. That was just for you, Dave. And then finally, Anna finds all of the other stash stuff that Tiffany left there. That's three identical skirts that still have the price tags on them.
And the tags are ginormous.
They are seriously.
And say Nitro on them so big that it's like bigger than the clothing item.
They're just the so size of like airline boarding passes. They're so big. For real. So then Cindy can't just give Brenda the silent treatment about this, and they have this this confrontation, which is clip number 10.
Mom, if you'd really think that of me, you don't know who I am.
Brenda, what am I supposed to think? Anna found this in your closet. Tell me what to think, please.
I can tell you, but I shouldn't have to. And I'm not going to. Just go ahead and think the worst of me.
What you did tell me was how much you wanted things. I mean, that's all I heard, how everybody else has everything. Look. It's okay. You went overboard. We can deal with this, but we just have to be straight with each other.
You know what? You're right. I did want things. It has been so hard for me here. Everyone here has known everybody forever. All I wanted is to blend in like I used to. And not only won't you give me money, but then you go and you get a maid?
Look. She needs the money more than we do, and she works for her money.
Sorry, Mom. I am not Anna. I am not Brandon. I am not perfect.
Well, neither am I. You know, it's been hard for me, too. I don't have my friends here. At least Anna is someone that I can talk with. Maybe not with, but... Oh. Why would you need three identical skirts? I mean, you left all the price tags on. Honey, maybe you wanted to get caught.
You know what I wanted? I'll tell you. I wanted to steal. I wanted to steal, Mom.
Calm down.
No, you calm down. I went into the store. I saw this gorgeous vest. There was so much. It could have been so easy, but I didn't do it. I couldn't. You know what else? You don't know me at all.
Okay, first of all, Brenda, if you want more money, why don't you get a job? It's like it bugs me so much that this is never something she's expected or required to do at any point in the show. She doesn't get a job until she's in college.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Like, I don't understand why she continues to get an allowance if Brandon is working for his money. I guess it's because it's for the car
insurance. Pointed out numerous times, too. Yeah.
But like when she's like, I'm not Brandon, I'm not perfect. Like, you don't have to be perfect. Just go get a job. It's not that hard, despite the montage, I guess.
Just explain what actually did happen to your mother, who apparently was never a teenage girl, never had the shoplifting friend we all had / were.
Well, she saw Tiffany and said to Jim she had shifty eyes. Like, she knows that girl is no good, but whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
So Brenda continues to not dime out Tiffany and instead goes over to her house where she's lying in her bikini on the diving board at the pool with the uniformed maid bustling around, and Brenda tries to shame her and it doesn't work. That is clip number 11.
Why do you take all those things, Tiffany? You have so much.
There it is again.
You think so? You know, once on this student trip to Rome, I saw this cool wall painted so it looked like a column. Trompe l'œil. Fools the eye.
Oh.
It just looks like there's something. It's the same here. There's nothing. No one.
Your folks aren't home?
Folks. They're, launching a shopping center in Boca Raton.
Irony!
They're never here. But it's cool, you know? I can do whatever I want.
You sure do.
Who are they? They're just dudes.
They're just dudes. Because there are like three or four guys just sitting beside the pool who get no lines and are there for apparently no reason.
Which I literally had a note like, do you want to explain who these people? And then just crossed out and wrote something about the nice blukers with scrunchy white socks.
Oh, God. Yes. Brenda's
not cute.
Brenda's shorts also extremely high-waisted, really cutting her off in bad ways. So apparently this actually does work. Tiffany is sufficiently shamed and she goes over to Brenda's house to talk to Cindy and reveal that she was the thief. And Cindy tries to mother her the way she does all of the lost lambs of Beverly Hills who have no parents. And that's clip number 15.
You know, those malls, they're so overstocked. They don't even miss the stuff.
But if everyone thought that way, there'd be nothing left.
Nowhere to shop. Now that's scary.
I agree. That young lady has got her head screwed on straight. I feel confident she's going to be just fine.
Even though she comes over to have this heartfelt conversation with Cindy looking like Robert Palmer's niece in with a black, fully black outfit with a blazer and a gold studded scrunchie.
And does she even get the stuff?
I
feel like she comes over to get the quote contraband.
Oh,
then
yeah,
they have
then
this meep and deaningful, and then she's like, well, bye. I'm going to the upstate farm for Kelly's former best friends, and then just leaves the crap there.
Yeah.
Anyone need a skirt?
Yeah. It's really ugly, all three of them, because they're identical. And then it wouldn't, of course, be a school assignment mirrors real life problems story if it didn't end with a. Really meaningful, symbolic paper, and that's clip number 16.
Jean Valjean stole for...
Valjean, Brandon.
Jean Valjean stole for hunger. Others steal for different kinds of hunger. There's the hunger to belong. Many of us have had the urge, but Jean Valjean acted on his impulses.
And there is a difference between the two, honey.
Thanks, Mom.
It was beautiful.
It's homework, Mom. Homework is definitely not beautiful.
Well, I'm sorry I jumped to conclusions. I know you well enough to trust you.
I don't know. I would think that Brenda is probably capable of stealing, probably. But also, this is now two episodes in a row when someone has told a Walsh kid that their writing is, quote, beautiful, unquote, and in neither case was that accurate.
Yeah.
And then finally, Jim comes home from his tennis excursion, and there's some, again, it wouldn't be a season one episode if it didn't have a really weird final scene, and that's clip number 17.
You know, there is Anna's Melting Pot Mystery Meat.
Did you try it?
I was so upset I skipped dinner.
Me too. Stress diet. I like it.
Oh, don't even talk to me about food. I ate at both my jobs. Hey, Dad, I had two jobs today. Drove through miles of concrete.
Miles of concrete. Way to go, Brandon. Way to go, Anna.
That's the end.
It looks like someone threw up in a brownie pan, by the way.
I mean, okay, yes. So Anna came over on her day off to bring this pan of food to the Walshes, which Cindy describes both insultingly and kind of racistly as melting pot mystery meat. Not okay. Also, don't love the message of stress diet. I like it, which is also not really a good message to send to the girls who are watching this show. And finally, shut up, Jim. Just shut up, Jim. That's really lame. So that's the episode. Everyone really learned a lot about character and stealing and how you wriggle out of fair shoplifting cops by showing off all of the credit cards you have and letting a store manager just pick one and let you pay for the stuff that you totally shoved in your bag. Sarah, would you agree?
Yeah. There were some fun little dated bits in here, like Kelly not being able to get a number for a car phone because of all the cellulars.
Yes.
Tiffany being like, I have every gold card. Like, now gold cards are considered kind of... Like, a friend of mine just laughed at mine recently. Cause she's like, why don't you just merge them and get a platinum? I'm like, I don't know, because I like gold better.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so funny that that was, like, the top of the line, and now it's, like, titanium and black cards and whatever else.
Yeah.
And what was the... I mean, everyone calling everything dope usually thinks that we're no such thing. That hat,
Brenda's hat.
Please clip the hat. Brenda's hat is, Blossom hat is terrible. I'm talking about that leopard.
Oh, God. Tiffany's hat, yes.
Like mushroom thing that Tiffany was wearing.
Yeah.
The Jim also complains. This is what reminded me of it. Jim also complained about like the Nouvelle Cuisine lunch that they had at tennis. Apparently that it was like a bean sprout with some gold dust on it. Like, well, L.A. Who'd have thunk it?
That's still kind of true. But yeah, let's do the episode MVP.
Why don't you start us off? Because I feel like I always start. You should go first.
Well, I would say the episode MVP is Anna, the only person who is doing an honest day's work and seems like a nice, decent person. And you?
I'm going to go with expositional friend number 3.
Oh,
we never get a name. We never see her again. No. She looks kind of like Danielle from My So-Called Life.
She does.
She's a veritable fount of information, and I think that was her first and last, not only episode, but acting job. I would have to look it up.
You're both wrong. The most valuable player of this episode was Kumin.
You're right.
All right. Least valuable player. Oh, boy. Jim. He's probably the least valuable player of the episode and probably the least valuable tennis player at his business function.
I'm going to go with Brandon R. Chavez.
And after our last episode, our friend Kim Reed, who I'm sure we will have on this eventually, posed a challenge to us, which is for every episode that we do, we need to come up with 5 reasons that Dylan actually is...
mad, bad, and dangerous to know.
I'll go first. Dylan would be dangerous to know if you were allergic to cumin because he seems to think it's a big fucking deal. Sarah.
Yeah.
He would be dangerous to know because you would probably sprain your eyes either rolling them or extremely rapidly averting them from those fugtastic overalls worn over the... classic Brandon hypersaturated Hanes beefy tea in a primary color. Back to you.
Dangerous in that who knows where the peach pit is supposed to be, but since Brandon acted like it was way the hell out and gone, let's say it's maybe in Compton, and that's possibly risky if he's brought you there just to eat some peach pie wrong. Sarah.
Gets you pregnant.
Only if you live in Paris.
Yeah. Okay.
It's dangerous to get sucked into his ideas of what makes a name drop cool, like when he said that he ate at this town opening night. No one cares.
Right. And if you accompany him to opening night of a restaurant, you could get trampled by the other hungry people / beaten to death by annoyed waitstaff who don't think your shit is funny.
All right, we did it.
I was thinking the cumin thing.
Please.
That, you know, I didn't watch the episode, but in my head, I'm just imagining him doing like the cinnamon challenge with cumin. He just puts like two mouthfuls in his mouth at once and tries
to choke on it.
Oh, wait, we didn't mention Brenda's Klingon sweatshirt.
Oh my God, you're right, we didn't.
Stop the music.
The music doesn't stop.
Okay. Well, Leo, listen.
Leastest valuable player.
You wouldn't
Brenda's
believe.
Cut off sweatshirt.
The clothes were horrible and such large portions.
All right, that's it. Thank you for joining us for episode 3. Every dream has its price. Parentheses tag.
And this is your Flash the Cash DJ, and you're listening to KWBH. See ya!